5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Everybody, welcome back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri, and we are presented by PPV.com, worldwide leader in live pay-per-view events, AEW wrestling. There's some K-pop on there. Chris is a big K-pop fan. They also have boxing. They have boxing, and that's their bread and butter. Some big pay-per-view fights coming to you this summer. So when you do order the fight, order it with us at PPV.com, live chat. Stream it to your phone, tablet, everywhere. You know the deal. And for those that are just watching for the first time, PPV.com is our presenting sponsor, which allows us to go out and travel to fights. I'm getting that big fight feel. It is a big fight weekend coming up in London. That's going to be a main talking point of this episode. Conor Benn is taking on Chris Eubank, and I'm jazzed up. I didn't think I'd be this jazzed up, Chris. I'm jazzed. Let's jazz it up.
I was saying that. I was coming on here. I'm like, can I be excited? Because I'm excited for this fight. I'm excited for this weekend. There's been so much of a buildup that I was like, all right, cool. Now we're here. It's finally going to happen. Because listen, we were super close last year, or 2 years ago at this point.
No, 3 years ago.
It was 3 years ago?
Well, October 2022.
Wow. I mean, yeah. So yeah, the buildup has been real. But yeah, dude, it was fight week. So media workout was yesterday. Like, they did the media workout the first time. They got past the media workout. Like, they were right there. They press conference. I think the press conference got called off, right? Or it happened at the press conference.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the highly separated stare down. They were like a mile away.
Yeah, yeah, not stupid. Or with the glass in between. Come on, guys.
Well, they did. He did smash the egg over his face, so I understand.
Yeah, and he got fined £100,000. So I don't think that's going to happen again.
So silly. So dumb. Yeah. So let's get right into it. So I'm not waste any time. No. I will say this though. Chris, we're not wearing hats on this episode because we don't coordinate that. I told you I read the comments right on YouTube. Oh. Some guy writes they should call this show Inside Balding Live. And I got okay. I not much offends me. I was pissed when I saw that because I was like, bro, neither of us are bald. Some guy gets in the comments. Well, they're balding. I was like, neither of us are balding. And that's why I'm not wearing a hat today. The flow, and you as well, the flow is there. So that guy, whoever you are, didn't even get your name. Not balding. It's a big fear of mine. This is lettuce right here. Neither is Chris.
I mean, yeah, well, it is what it is. I don't really care.
I don't care either, but just make that one comment about that. I'm like, because we wear hats on the episode. Inside Balding Live.
I mean, I don't normally wear a hat, though.
I wear a hat a lot because, you know, I come from the gym or I'm going to the gym after. Yeah, dude, it's also laid back.
You're a proud New York Yankee fan. Like, you wear Yankee people in New York, guys who are, I know a lot of our listeners are not from New York and a lot of them are. But like, yeah, it's a New York staple to wear a classic Yankee hat. So.
But anyway, we move on. That doesn't bother me at all. It's not something I think about constantly. Going bald, not balding. Not balding. All right, here we go.
A lot now.
Not balding. Let's get right into it. This is the big fight this weekend. It's Conor Benn. It's Chris Eubank Jr. The bloodlines, the bad blood, the fathers who fought in the 90s. Really cool if you think about that aspect of it. But man, yeah. The buildup for this fight has been 3 years in the making. A timeline, a topsy turvy timeline. A lot of stuff going on, and it's got a lot of storylines. I think the storylines for this particular fight is what makes it so interesting, because neither guy has been a world champion, and I think it's safe to say that neither guy probably will never be a world champion unless something drastically changes. But there's a lot of storylines here, and that's what makes this intriguing. Obviously, number one storyline is the fact that their dads fought each other. And Chris Eubank said, like, I don't think this has ever happened before. I'm sure it has happened in some regard. I think, what is it, Layla Ali fought – didn't Layla Ali fought Joe Frazier's daughter?
Jackie Frazier Hyde. Jackie Frazier, yes. So
not taking
anything
away from them.
But that fight was not at this level. Not that right. this, like you said, this is sub world class level, but still, this is still a very high level,
bro. And 67,000.
Yeah, the fanfare is ridiculous.
67,000.
But you know, a lot of that has to do with their dads and the lead up to it. But that also speaks to the British fan base. They love their boxing. And
they're prime.
This has legacy. You know, and I had said this. There's three things that sell. Legacy sell. Right, that's why Jackie Frazier, Hyde, and Ali could have fought Leila and Ali. So these guys have the legacy. Controversy sells. They got the controversy from the failed drug test. Now, what you just corrected me was 3 years ago, and they got beef. And we know that beef sells. Everyone speaks beef. These guys have legitimate beef. I don't think that they're faking it in terms of, you know, the way they are when they're facing each other. Chris Eubanks smashes an egg on his face. Conor Benn looks like he's about to have a stroke. These guys are genuinely trying to get at each other's throats. So all three of those things put together, the legacy, the controversy, and the bad blood. And the fight sells, 67,000, like you said.
Nuts, 67,000. Eddie Hearn saying this is the second biggest fight you can make in British boxing behind Fury and Joshua. And I agree with that. I love this.
I agree with that. Distant second.
I love this statement from Conor Benn. Nothing like this has ever happened before. I don't think it will happen again. That's why I took this fight. We have to uphold those names to the best of our ability. That's where it makes it personal to me. I must ensure the Eubank name stays on top above the Benn name.
Love it. I was like, damn. He's a wordsmith, that Eubanks Jr., man. That guy can talk the talk.
He represents the good in this. Eubank versus Benn is good, classic good versus evil vibes. Eubank is the good in this equation, obviously. He's got that chill demeanor. He challenges promoters. He's gone after Eddie Hearn. He's kind of gone after the current system. He's the clean fighter in this equation and is not afraid to call out Conor Benn on his misdeeds. And did you see this? He ended up paying the full purses of every fighter that was on the canceled October 2022 card. Which I thought was such a great gesture.
I saw that, and that's an elder statesman move, and that's really impressive, dude. That's a lot of money, first of all.
It's a flex.
That's a big time flex. And I saw some people in the comments being like, "Oh, why did he wait so long?" Doesn't matter. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it at all, and he did it in the lead up to this. You know, it's a flex. Big flex.
That's the good. The evil is obviously Conor Benn. I don't think there's a bigger heel in boxing today. Then Conor Benn, he's definitely leaning into it. A big reason for that is the two failed drug tests. A big reason for that is the victim mentality afterwards, how he handled it all. Kind of has that spoiled kid thing going on where Eubank really doesn't. It's all about how you carry yourself because, like, you know, these guys are good, obviously. You step into that ring and to get to this level, you have to be damn good at what you do. But for Benn, I that's the sense that I get, a little bit of, like, entitled type of a fighter here because I don't think he's as good as his promoter will make him out to be or he thinks, I should say. But it's clearly got the good versus evil here, and that's a big selling point in this fight because neither of them, like, you know, Eubank's 35 years old. You know, has fought for world titles, has held the IBO world title, which we don't recognize. And then you have Conor Benn, who was on a trajectory to become a world champion. But, you know, the failed drug test is hard to look past. And also how he's looked since those failed drug tests. It's going to be a major point in this fight. But, man, storylines galore in this one.
No, it's all narratives. I mean, it's all narratives. It's, you know, like I said before, the history, the blood, the controversy. Hey, it makes for a good show. Like we're talking about it, we're excited about it. We're basically almost dedicating an entire show to it. So it's it is to be talked about. And the people bought tickets. They put butts in seats. That's at the end of the day. That's what talks. Dollars talk. Eyes talk. Views talk. Butts in seats talk. The talk is almost over. These guys are gonna get it on, and. I mean, I hope because again, it got called up last time, this time. But I think we're good. I think we're in the clear.
Yeah, we got to get this in the rear view. We got to get this in the rear view. We got to get this one. I wouldn't say over with, but like, yeah.
But then, okay, so does this turn into a rematch trilogy situation like their fathers? Like, listen, they're not as good as their dads. We know that. That's been established. It was much higher stakes when their fathers fought. By the way, I went back and watched those fights. They were
me too.
Awesome. Awesome. Brutal fights. Nigel Benn was an absolute savage. He brought the heat. And Chris Eubank Sr., just a tactician, man. Just really clever, very smart, but also physical. Really interesting fight. Guys who are listening, if you haven't watched those fights, I would suggest going back and watching at least the highlights. Really, really good action-packed stuff. The pace was through the roof on that fight. Dan, is there a possibility we could get at the levels they're at now? Obviously not like their fathers, but they're both not as good as their dads. Could they create a classic?
Yeah, they could create a classic. Because we'll get to all the variables and how I think it's going to shake out. But yes, I mean, the reason I think there could be more after this is because of the amount of money they're generating, the amount of interest, and the fact that neither guy really has a plan after this. Neither guy is on a title trajectory. Like for Eubank, he's up towards the tail end of his career. Ben is calling out all these names at 147, 140. He doesn't really know what weight he is. Yeah, so short answer, yes. I do think I haven't even thought about that because it's taken so long to get to just this one. But it depends on how it all plays out. But just going back to their dad's fight, I went back and watched that too. 1990 was their first fight. It was one of the biggest fights you could make in British boxing at the time. Eubank KO9, but that's not before Conor Ben landed a massive shot. Nigel Ben landed a massive shot uppercut that opened up the mouth it was Eubank who landed a shot on Ben. Opened up the mouth of Ben, but Eubank ends up winning KO9. Then they didn't fight till 3 years later. That first fight was for middleweight title. Eubank had the WBO middleweight title. Then they fought at 168, which at the time was like a newer weight class. Both were champions at the time for that one, and that was a draw. So they never ran it back for a third time. But I'm not going to put it past the kids to do it a bunch of more times. But a big talking point in this fight, and I think a big thing which has made it really hard for me to come up with a pick. Like, we will give picks at the end of this fight. I haven't made my pick yet. We're recording right now because of the variables. There's so many variables in this fight, and I think the number one variable is the weight. The promotion doesn't want to talk about the weight. They don't want to make this about the weight because one guy is fought at 168, as high as 168 and 160. The other guy is fought at 140 and 147. So the promotion's trying to talk about everything else but the actual weight and everything that goes into that, but we're going to talk about it because it's a big talking point for the fight. Ben has never fought above 153.5. That was September 2023. This fight's at 160. Eubank's last seven have been around the middleweight limit. He's had some middleweight fights. He's had some 161s, 162s. He hasn't fought at 168 since 2019. Obviously, Eubank is 35 years old. The weight's going to be a big thing. There's a rehydration clause of 10 pounds, which I think benefits Ben more than Eubank, right?
Absolutely, because Ben's not cutting weight, but Ben's not... He's been fighting at 54. There's reports that he gets very heavy between weigh-in and fight night. So it certainly helps Ben, the rehydration clause, because well, come fight night, they might weigh very similar, within 5 pounds of each other, which is not much of an advantage for Eubank if he is the heavier man. In fact, it might be a bit of a disadvantage because he has to whittle himself down and dehydrate down, which is one of the things that Chris Eubank Sr., was really having a problem with the first go around because the first fight was at 157. So they were supposed to fight at 157 pounds, which I don't believe Chris Eubank Jr. has ever fought there, especially not at the high level. So his father was very concerned about him whittling down an extra 3 pounds below the 160 pound limit. And even Chris Eubank Jr. himself said, at this weight, I will be 60% of what I at my best, but I can beat Connor at 60%. He even admitted that whittling down those extra pounds was going to weaken him. I still think it weakens him at 60. A 35 years old, making that weight again, he's a big middleweight. He was a decent-sized super middleweight. I don't think he was very small for super middleweight. And now he's 8 pounds lighter at 160 at 35 years of age. It does not get easier to make weight as you age.
But on the flip side, his last seven fights have been at 160.
Yes.
He's 35. He fought 6 months ago and looked good at 160.
He looked good, but he fought... offensive-less guy, Zarameta, who, you know, his the only time we've ever seen him on the world stage is when Triple G was beating him all over the ring and he made Triple G look like a defensive wizard. You had Triple G sliding his head and moving around and just eating punches. But even in the Zarameta fight, he got hit with a couple of right hands, Eubank did, that I saw he didn't like. And that worried me. That seemed more like a weight thing than anything. because Chris Eubank Jr. has shown a very solid world-class chin for his entire career, except for the Beefy Smith fight. And yeah. then the Serrazmeta fight, he gets hit with a couple punches that seemed to that he didn't like. So, you know, the chin, a little, chins don't age well either. Making weight, it gets harder as you age. Taking punches gets harder as you age as well.
That's part of the variables. It's like mm-hmm. you can just say, oh, Eubank's 35. You know, that's hard weight to make at 35. But then on the flip side, hasn't really missed weight, has looked pretty decent at the weight, hasn't fought at 168 since 2019. But I'm sure he would want this fight at a higher weight. So I think with the rehydration,
or at least with no rehydration clause.
I think they're, I mean, I hate rehydration clauses.
Yeah, I think they should be abolished. It's dangerous.
Very dangerous. We think we talked about that numerous times. But Ben blows up in between. You fought this guy. I mean, mm-hmm. Ben blows up in between fights. He can't get any higher than 170. Do you think he was bigger than 170 when you got into the ring with him?
I heard he was. There were reports that told me that he was in the 70s or around 170 when he stepped the ring, which I tell you the
but
truth.
But that fight was at 147.
147, but I'm going to tell you, the
35 pounds?
A lot of welterweights, they walk around in the 70s and 80s. These guys whittle down. World-class welterweights are very big people. That's why I never want to fight at 47, because I've never even weighed 170, let alone, you know, on fight night. You know, so, you know, I was always like a 155-pound guy. Even when I fought at 147, I barely broke 154, 155 when I was in the ring. So, well, I was never a true welterweight, even in my last couple fights. Welterweights get big, man. These guys are welterweight is a very different weight class than 140. The guys are much bigger. They walk around much heavier. You know, we talked about Boots Ennis being one of the biggest welterweights we've ever seen. That guy walks around much higher than 170. We've seen Terrence Crawford on the scale over 170, even when he was fighting at welterweight. Errol Spence, another guy who gets way above that. So true world-class welterweights gain a lot of weight in between fights. Ben's one of those guys too.
Yeah, so Ben should come in and fight night at one. He can't get any higher than 170. Eubank as well. I think that benefits Ben in this one. The rehydration goes.
You said 35 pounds? No, it's 23 pounds.
My math is horrible. Same when he fought you. When he fought you, it was at 147, right?
Yes.
And then you think that he could have came in at 170 on fight night.
Listen. It's absolutely welterweights coming in at 170.
Yes, 23 pounds. Yeah, 23 pounds. That's not
18.
So, bad.
So 15 to 18 pounds is pretty standard for a lot of guys. 10 is like that's most guys gain a lot more than that. 15 is usually the roundabout number. But yeah, 23 pounds, 25 pounds. I've seen. You don't see it as much in boxing as you do in MMA, but still, there are guys out there that are put on tremendous amounts of weight. I think Vito Milinicki, he was a guy who puts on like a ton of weight in between the weigh-in and the scale. But listen, some guys do it more than others. But this fight, the weight, it's a weighty issue for sure.
It's a big issue in this fight. It's not the 157 as the first was, and that would have been horrible. But yeah. You know, the rehydration clause is in there to protect. They say it's to protect some of these guys, but I don't know exactly who it's protecting. But Chris, I will say this. It's pretty rare that we break down a fight of a fighter that you were in the ring with. No offense, you're getting old.
Spence? Yeah, but I mean, Spence. We've done a lot of them. Pacquiao, Spence.
Pacquiao? Have we ever, since you came on in 2022, I don't think Pacquiao's fought.
I guess not on our show. I'm saying I have broken
this
down many
program
fights.
Right here.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, Spence has been the only one so far.
But I will ask you, we don't talk about this too often off the air, but you had a fight with Conor Benn, and yep. We all know what happened in that fight. We all know it was your last pro fight inside of that ring. How does it make you feel when you see him now, or you see him kind of back into the main picture? Not once again getting rewarded, but going to make a lot of money on fight night. Do you still have a feeling about this guy? Still have a bad feeling in your mouth about this guy? Bad taste in your mouth?
No, I mean, I have to look at everything now as at this new portion of my career, this new stage. If I'm out there trying to be a fighter still, then you're going to get a lot of personal stuff, and that's not what people tune in for. That's not why I'm here. Right. You know, I'm not going to sit there and get into arguments with these guys, because we're going to be getting into fights, fist fights. So I'm going to be a professional in all of these situations. But in terms of, you know, where he's at now, you know, it's been years, and think what you will, think what you think, don't think what happened, it happened, whatever. It is what it is. But now it's just like you gotta go with what you have in front of you. And this is boxing. People forget about drug scandals like nothing. It gets swept under the rug. You keep moving.
With him, I don't think they're ever going to forget it.
Well, I mean, that's really going to depend on what happens in this fight. If he goes out there and if he loses this fight, and especially if he doesn't put on a good performance or he gets stopped by Eubank, the drug stuff will never stop. If he goes out there and he blasts Eubank out, I think a good portion of people are going to be like, whatever. He's exonerated. He's free. You know, he can still punch.
He can do it without the PEDs, allegedly.
Right. There's gonna be that. You know, but you know, we'll see. That's why we fight the fights.
It's funny in boxing, some guys that they let it go. You know, Canelo Alvarez, he was suspended for 6 months in 2018. And there's some of your favorite fighters. Some of your favorite fighters have all had PED accusations or PED suspensions, PED failed tests. Some it sticks with some and others it doesn't stick with. For Conor Benn, I think it's because of his name and how he's handled it since. The excuse with the eggs is just absolutely asinine.
Definitely the way he handled it.
Right. And that's why he's the
heel. Tried to fight it to the end. Like even when it was just compounding, lose. Every they just kept getting knocked down by the BBOC, and then it was basically I forgot even how they got over it. It was like a
mini exoneration. They said they couldn't deem that he did any wrongdoing, but also like it wasn't a full like the WBC reinstated. It took years.
Yeah, well, years and a lot of money. But that's
a lot of money.
Having the money to fight it.
Having a promoter like Eddie Hearn as a mouthpiece for it. But yeah, I think, you know, that's the reason why you're so respected is because you don't make it personal. Like we could have easily gone on here and been like, F this guy, we know what he did, but that's not what we're going to do here. Everyone out there could make their opinions and they already have.
And they do. And they certainly do.
And they're not going to stop. More variables about this fight is the age. Ben is still in his chronological prime. He's 28 years old, nearing the end of his chronological prime, but still in it, where Eubank is 35. I go to ring activity as well as a big variable in this fight. Ben, 15-month layoff. That's the second longest layoff of his career, which was 17 months during the drug suspension, whereas Eubank has just fought 6 months ago, which is kind of standard in today's boxing. That was that KO over Zeremeta. So, go ahead.
I was going to say Zeremeta.
Yeah, the KO over Zeremeta where he was knocked down a bunch of times there. Another thing, too, we're going to talk about is the power of these guys or the lack thereof. I looked it up. Eubank has scored 10 knockdowns over his last four fights. And that's a lot. that's a lot of knockdowns. I mean, Liam Williams, Liam Smith, Zeremeta knocked down numerous times. Whereas Ben, I mean, he hasn't had a knockdown since 2022. He's not knocking guys down either. You know, the Dobson fight went the distance. He also went the distance with
Orozco.
Those are sturdy guys. But we're not looking at any knockdowns. We're looking at a lot of accumulation. So when I try to figure out the bigger puncher, which we'll do later on, we try to figure out the ring activity and the power and the weight and who's it going to favor. I mean, Eubank is the bigger puncher here, and it shows over his last four fights with the 10 knockdowns.
Yeah, Eubank. I was talking about this earlier. He's a puncher, not a finisher, because he drops guys and he's sharp and he scores knockdowns. He doesn't have that urgency to trying to get you out of there, but he will put you down and he can punch. You know, he's shown that. He's got 25 knockouts. Like he's been fighting for a long time. He has more knockouts than Ben has fights. And Ben, you know, you talk about those last two fights where he went the distance with Dobson and Orozco. He hit those guys with everything he's got. They didn't even blink. You know, so the above 150, it doesn't seem like that power translates. And you know, so this fight being at 160, fighting a bigger man who's been in with world class guys and guys who can really punch, yes, you're gonna lean in for power department to be Eubank Jr.
Yeah, we'll do Chris's categories later on, but it's just something I was looking at. I was like, oh, man, who's you know, you look at Ben as like this destroyer, but that was a while ago, and you look at Eubank as the boxer in this equation, and you look at him as like the more well-rounded fighter, but don't look past the fact that this guy's got power. I mean, this guy especially at the weight too. He's the one that's been fighting at the weight. That's why he's the favorite in this fight. Last five fights for Ben, he's got the 2024 decision over Dobson. He got a 2023 decision over Orozco. He's got wins over Chris Van Heerden and another Chris, the co-host that's of this me. Show. He's got a decision win over Adrian Granados in 2021. That's the last five for Ben. The last five for Eubank is the seventh round stoppage of Zaremeta, the 10th round stoppage of Liam Smith. He lost to Liam Smith, was knocked out in the Liam's knocked down or not or stopped in the Liam Smith fight in 2023. The only
brutal knockout too, really bad knockout.
Right, they're talking about an elbow, phantom elbow in that one. It's so uncharacteristic. He was just dazed. He was out, and you know I wasn't expecting that type of outcome. Like, that was 23. That's the only time he's been stopped. Had the Liam Williams win where he knocked him down numerous times. So. He's more active.
He's shown a good chin in the past. That was a weird fight that Liam Smith, who was coming up from 54, was not really a 60 pounder, was able to hurt Eubank the way he was. Listen, this guy went 12 rounds with George Groves. George Groves is
lost.
He
could
punch.
Groves.
Yeah, big strong guy. So you know he fought Arthur Abraham. Yes, super old Arthur Abraham. Arthur Abraham can punch, and your punch is the last thing to go. But still, I mean, he's shown a very very sturdy chin throughout his career, except for that fight. Is it age? Is it the weight? Is it just getting caught? We won't really know.
Has a split decision loss to Billy Joe Saunders 11 years ago. You got to figure Billy Joe was in his prime then.
Yeah. Billy Joe was a tough nut to crack back in the day, man. He was a tricky guy to deal with.
I mean, still was when he fought Canelo before he got his eye socket broken, but
very true.
One judge had that in favor of Eubank. Straight weird career for Eubank. The Billy Joe Saunders fight was 11 years ago. And then from there, you know, he fights not the same style, not the same skill level as Saunders. And then he gets in there, goes up to 168, takes on like the old, like you said, the old guard of Abraham, George Groves, DeGale. That's a nice win for him. I think came over to the States. That didn't exactly work out for him. And then, you know, he's on this run that he's been on lately. But none of them title fights. None of them really getting over that hump. Interesting career for Eubank. And he's not afraid to say that this is the biggest fight of his career. Because we went through a bunch of those fights. You know, they weren't huge. You know, the big domestic level fights. But this is the biggest. This is his title fight. This is his moment for the namesake, for to squash Conor Benn. And it might not be a title on the line, but this is it for him. This is his Super Bowl.
Well, it's exactly what you're saying about the bragging rights, about, you know, upholding his father's legacy. That's a big deal. And you know, he's never been a world champion. So does he make this his title fight in his mind? Does this become in his heart and in his mind, you know,
the
people's champ, that thing that's different? Because listen, champions, us, myself, we all cherish being world champions. It's eluded Chris Eubank Jr. And at this point, it's probably not going to happen. Like you said, at the opening, at 35 years old, winning a title in these tough weight classes at this point is probably far fetched. So does he make this his world title fight? Does this become the brass ring that he never got? If that's the case, that puts him in a mindset that's very different than one might expect a 35 year old fighter to think, you know, cause you could see Eubank overlooking Ben, the way that he's been talking about him. He's like, me at 60% beats Ben. This guy doesn't scare me. I just saw an interview. He was saying that he doesn't scare me. Nothing about Ben scares me. Could he be overlooking Ben? Could that factor into this fight? Because for Ben, this is absolutely his biggest fight and his most dangerous opponent. So he's taking this, that he's going to be the best version of himself. But like I said, if Eubank thinks that this is his world title fight, this is his brass ring, this is something that he's going to hang his hat on in his career, it's a different mindset.
Right. Same thing can be said for Ben too. He's hasn't reached world title status. He's got a little more runway ahead of him. If he wins this fight, I would not be shocked.
But Ben, every fight's a world title away for him. When you're at that level, when you're undefeated and you're fighting towards that, fighting me was a world title fight. Fighting, you know, every fight leading up to it was a world title fight. So this for him for sure is gotta be feel like a world title.
Yeah, I mean, he's got way more runway than Eubank. He's only 20. He's 28. I mean, he's got a name, and the manner in which he wins this fight, if he wins it, is going to dictate his next couple fights and his demand for him. If he knocks out Eubank, then he's going to be insufferable, I think. And so is Eddie Hearn, and they're going to call for every name under the sun from 160 down, maybe even 160 up. Canelo Alvarez. I mean, I'm thinking like that. Like that's how like grandiose his mind is, and Eddie's together when you put these two together and coming off of a win, because this will be the biggest win of Ben's career, and it's going to be the biggest win of Eubank's career. So yeah, thinking ahead a little bit is like, wow, what could happen if Ben wins this fight by stoppage, which leads me to the betting odds, which, man, these are just all over the place. I don't know where to go.
Have they been changing? I bet you they must be changing, right?
Well, as of right now, on DraftKings right now, Eubank is the favorite at minus 170 on the money line. Ben is a plus 135 underdog in this, which I think is pretty fair right there. I think that's a pretty good line. I wonder if more money is going to come pouring in on Ben.
I feel like it was closer a few weeks ago.
Right? I haven't looked. There probably was. I think
there's going to be late Ben money, especially if you're seeing Eubank struggle with the weight, right, and how he looks at the press conference, how he looks at on the scale.
Yeah, I'm not a big futures bet type of guy, and I think you shouldn't be if you're betting on boxing, because I look at those things. I look at the factors. I look at the – even though the freaking ceremonial weigh-ins have kind of ruined – that aspect of the game. Like, we don't get to see what they actually like, boots. We didn't get to actually see him like walk up to the scale in like a towel and look like a corpse. Right. We don't get to see that anymore. Which I don't know. It kind of takes away the theater a little bit. I don't know. Is it better for you guys not to have the cameras on? What would you rather? I'm sure you've done both.
I mean, I didn't care either way. I mean, the people who were around saw me on the scale initially anyway. It wasn't for the public to see, but everybody else who was there, the lines would move either way. So it doesn't really make a difference.
Well, I guess it comes down to they're not going to do a big weigh-in. The weigh-ins have become a big event. Like those are like big time media availabilities. They do shows around them. There's the sponsored elements and all that. It's become a money thing. So therefore, like, they're not going to do that at 9 in the morning when they do the real weigh-ins, which media is invited to.
I just changed my mind. I like the ceremonial weigh-in because
of that.
Then you get, because you get the weigh-in out of the way in the morning. You focus on that. That's part of the fight. And then for the ceremonial weigh-in becomes the media. And then you get to look at your guy in the eye. You feel better. You're a little hydrated. You're both more focused on each other once again instead of the scale. Because you know that old saying, the scale is the first fight. You're focused on the scale. You make the scale. You know, you make the scale weight. Now you can focus on the guy. Now it's time we can fight. I want to be in front of this guy. Now I'm going to eat your lunch. It was tough dealing with the scale and then getting in a guy's face with a stank breath and you know.
Andre Ward came to. I was working at Bleacher Report and he came to the office and we were brainstorming some content plan we could do. He was fighting one of the Smith brothers. Who was it? No, Paul Smith. And what we came up with is Paul Smith was there too at the studio at Bleach Report. And we're going to have them, what we came up with was we're going to have them stare down with each other. And then we're going to do an inner monologue of what fighters actually think during the stare down. Mm-hmm. And one of them was stank breath. And that's what came up with Ward.
And, Andre.
That was pretty funny. They wrote the jokes. And then they were staring at each other. Then we had them record like the monologue. It came out really good. But yeah, I would say it takes out like the surprise element or the drama. Like, but we're not gonna. I don't want fighters to wait till 6 p.m. Eastern to hop on the scale. That's torture. So they got to do it early in the morning. I get it. But it does affect the betting in my mind. But Eubank's the favorite, minus 170. Ben plus 135. This is where it gets interesting. Is the props Ben by stoppage? Hasn't got a stoppage in years, plus 200. Eubank stoppage, plus 145. Eubank has been dropping guys. He's been stopping them as well. We'll see what happens in this one. Eubank decision, plus 290, which is really staring at me in the eyes. Whoa. Ben decision, plus 750.
Whoa.
Ben decision, biggest number is Ben decision plus 750. Eubank decision, like it just like I'm gonna ask you, like how do you like how does this fight end? Is it going the distance, which I think is 8.5 on over under, which is I usually never touch over unders, but I'm intrigued to hit the over on that. Like
flat out, I would say go with the over, but early on it's Ben, and then after I mean after
is that what you think? First four rounds, do you think Ben is gonna be
if we see round five? You got to lean towards a more experienced, bigger guy. I think early on, it's going to be the aggression, the explosiveness, you know, the emotion of Conor Benn. Also, did you see that the ring is super small?
Did not see that. How big?
Less than 18 feet.
Wow. Who does that benefit?
I would say Benn early on.
See, this is a weird fight because I there's so many variables and I don't know who benefits who from this, because these guys have shown weaknesses, they've shown strengths, we don't know what one guy's about because he might have been on on performance enhancing drugs. The other guy has pretty much underachieved in his career but has had moments, but
Second half of the fight, if that ring is really small and Eubank finds his rhythm, it's gonna hurt Ben to be in a smaller ring.
He should be able to box his face off.
He should be able to, but he's got to make sure he keeps the distance.
He should be able to box his face up, but he's 35. He should be able to. Exactly. Ben Eubank should be able to be strong late, but who knows how his weight cut's going? You know, Ben should be able to get him out of there because he's 28 and he's shown flashes of that, but he hasn't done that in a while. Like this is impossible. So you have to just go with your gut. You have to go with what you think, and that Eubank.
That's why the lines are so crazy.
That Eubank decision at plus 290. The over-under, I think, is the play at 8.5.
Yeah, that's what I agree.
You could maybe parlay that with Eubank money line to kind of juice it a little bit. Man, Eubank decision. I'm really staring at that one.
Plus 290.
For it to go to all 12 and for Eubank to outbox Ben, to stave off Ben, because I do think Ben will come out guns blazing. I think he knows it in his mind. It's like, I'm going to test his chin. I'm going to test my power. I think after the fifth round, if he hasn't moved him, which we've seen in recent fights with Ben, you know, the Dobson fight and the Roscoe fight, is like he's come out and landed big shots. Like this guy's big landing shots. His power, over 40% of his power shots. Like his punch stats are gaudy, Conor Benn. He's not been able to move the guys. Like we're in the past, he's got them out and that's what the difference, I think, in this fight is, you know, can Benn do that early?
But even when I fought him, I said people asked me, like, you know, because I had watched, obviously, I'd studied him leading up to it, and I hadn't seen him being very explosive. I definitely didn't see, like, a lot of power. You know, the Sammy Vargas fight, I thought, was an abnormality. You know, he caught him early, jumped all over him. The ref stopped it. Definitely rocked him and hurt him and followed up with a nice combination. But I had seen that. You know, he had some quickness in his hands. I didn't see his footwork being that explosive. When I fought him, the very first thing I noticed was how explosive he closed the gap. I was like, well, I didn't expect that. I didn't see that on tape. I never saw any of this, but I was like, okay, I can deal with this. And the power, I didn't feel it. I didn't think like anything of it. I've been in with really big punchers. And then, but the explosiveness and his ability to change range, which I had never seen before and haven't seen it since, was what was special about him. If he comes out there and he's got that, that's something that the older guy whose footwork, you know, might be a little slower, especially early on because of the weight, that's where things get dangerous. That's why I look at it like early on. But as we get later, like you said, he used that explosiveness to be able to get in and land big shots on guys, but he hasn't been able to hurt anyone over 150. And now this fight's at 60. A lot of variables, dude.
It's crazy. I mean, it's really hard. I pride myself, and I'm sure you would do as well. It's like being able to handicap a fight, break down a fight, get a good feel on it. But this one, you just throw everything out the window because this is a good old-fashioned grudge match. It's two different guys at two different weights, two different parts of their careers. Oh, man. I'm trying to see Ben, the round betting, where Ben or like, you know, one through. I don't think Ben's going to win by knockout. I just don't see that.
In looking at past form, it would be really difficult to be able to see that. Again, Orozco and Dobson. Dobson was really unheralded. You know what's funny? Dobson was one of my sparring partners getting ready for Ben.
Guy just looks like a New York cat.
Yeah, and he's solid. You know, he's solid, but you know, he didn't make him hurt. He didn't cause any damage to him at all, and landed some big shots. Dobson was in there, landed some shots of his own. So it really questioned, like you said, if Ben can actually stop Eubank.
Is there another intangible? Another intangible that we're not talking about is like the moment. And this is going to be loud. This is going to be close to 70,000. They're going to be amped up when the fight comes around. You know, I guess Eubank has been in bigger stages. Like some of those domestic fights were pretty big. Ben has not. Does that play a role?
I see it two different ways. One, Ben gets shy under the lights because he's never been there. Two, Eubank falls into all of this bad blood talk and fights him more than he should.
Right, meets him in the middle.
So small ring. Both ways. Small ring. I'm not worried about this guy. He's small. He can't hurt me. He couldn't hurt the 54 pounders. He can't hurt me. Bung, get hit with a shot, and that's all she wrote. So I could see it going both ways. The moment could be because Ben's never been there, and that the crowd gets him, or the moment gets to Eubank, and that we're finally here. This guy I'm not afraid of. This guy that I've been treating like a kid. This guy who can't punch. Guy who can't hurt me hurts me. So, you know, it gets into a grudge match or a firefight with somebody that he should be boxing. Because, listen, the way their fathers fought, Eubank Sr. was the boxer. He went out there and he boxed smart. He threw combinations. He let his hands go really nicely. But he was the tactician in there. Nigel was the dark destroyer. He was going out there looking to do damage, similar to how Conor fights.
Dark destroyer. What a name.
Cool name. Very cool name.
Another intangible here that has nothing to do with the you know, attributes of these guys or boxing, but has to do with the mental. Is Eubank's dad not being there? He's saying wild things, calling his son an embarrassment for the disgrace. Egg thing. Disgrace. Like, I know a lot of Eubank Sr., it's an act. He's a showman. But it seems like Eubank is kind of like upset over it. I just watched another interview recently this week, and he was talking about, my dad just doesn't understand it. Like, Ben's dad understands it. He's going to be there. My dad's not going to be there, which is just, I don't care if it's fake or real. Yeah. That's a big time storyline in this fight.
But would you be surprised if it was a work?
I would not be surprised if he showed up.
That's what I mean. I'm kind of thinking that we're going to see Chris Eubank Sr. in the corner of his son on fight night, and that this was some kind of work to get people kind of a misdirection. We're actually, they plan that together. Because listen, Chris Eubank Sr., I said Chris Eubank Jr. is good on the mic, and he talks well. Chris Eubank Sr. is a showman. That unreal. Guy was unreal in the way that he built up fights, the things that he would say, the outfits that he would wear, the way that he would fight. All of that was part of the show. He's an absolute showman. Could this be him resurrecting his showman status one last time for his son? It could be. Or it could be real. I don't know. I don't know them personally. I could never guess.
Yeah,
which way it's going to go.
It's a big fight for our listeners and everyone overseas in the UK. I think it's a big fight here in the US. It's on pay-per-view.
It's become a big fight.
Yeah, because we've gone a few months without a big one. It's not the biggest fight on the schedule, but it's definitely a big one. It's a big grudge match. I mean, we know the names and all that. We just went into all that. So it's time now for Chris Algieri's Chris's categories versus for Ben versus Eubank head-to-head. Four categories: power, speed, ring IQ, and defense. This one should be fun because there are a lot of variables.
A lot of variables. Okay, number one, we got power. We spoke about this already. We kind of let the cat out of the bag. It's Chris Eubank. You know, he scores all those knockdowns. Not a finisher. And in recent form, still scoring knockdowns. He got a stoppage in his last fight. Ben in recent form, last two fights. Went 22 rounds with guys that are not at the world-class level. Hit them with everything. Didn't get them to blink. So power goes with Chris Eubank Jr. Speed, I'm going with Conor Benn. When I mentioned about his explosiveness, his ability to close the distance, to get over that critical distance line, which is going to be really important in this fight, I think it's Conor Benn. Also, when he lets off those combinations, he's got some pretty good hand speed. So I'm going speed over Eubank Jr. So I got Conor Benn with the speed. Next, we've got boxing IQ or ring IQ. Here, I'm going with the more experienced man. I'm going with the tactician. I'm going with the son of the technician, Chris Eubank Jr. He has more experience at the highest level. You know, he boxed 12 rounds with Billy Joe Saunders, who's a very good boxer. He's been in with Arthur Abraham, DeGale. These guys are good boxers. He's able to box at that level. And we've seen him. When he gets on his rhythm, he's a very good technical fighter. Gets behind that jab really well, fires combinations, has good power, good pop. So boxing IQ, I'm going with Chris Eubank Jr. Defense/chin, I'm going on recent form, and I'm going with Conor Benn. He has shown some pretty decent head movement when he did go rounds with those guys, the Dobson, the Orozco. He was able to slide and go and eat some of those shots. Also, we've never seen him really hurt badly. Early in his career, I know he got rocked and he got dropped. And, you know, Dobson hit him with some shots that he thought twice about. But I can't unsee Beefy Smith knocking Eubanks' head off in that fight a couple years ago. And like I said, I did see a little chin check in the Cerezmata fight, which made me worry about Eubank fighting this fight. So defense and chin, I'm going with Conor Benn.
Very even, evenly distributed. Even. Two categories a pop. I'm not shocked at all. I'm not surprised because it's that type of fight. So power and ring IQ on the side of Eubank, speed and defense on the side of Conor Benn.
Wow. Basically, it's experience versus youth. If you compare those to power doesn't go as you get older. Ring IQ doesn't go as you get older. And when you're young, you got the speed and you got the defense and the chin.
Should be interesting. We'll give our predictions in just a second. I want to talk about the full card because it's a pretty fun card. We got Vidal Riley versus Siobhan Clark. That is at cruiserweight. Don't know too much about either guy. We're going to move forward there. Anthony Yard, Lyndon Arthur III. I don't know who's asking for the third of this one. A trilogy that no one was really asking for. Anthony Yard getting up there in age has fought some big names. Lyndon Arthur was in there with
Bivol. I like Anthony Yard. I'm a fan of Anthony Yard. I like
him. Yeah, he's not done, but I expect Yard to win this one. Lyndon Arthur, a local legend, fought Bivol, won an IBO title, and I don't know why they made a big deal about that, but seems like a good guy. They'll get in there and duke it out for the third time. Liam Smith.
Seems like a good guy.
He does. Wasn't there that story a few years ago? Like, he pretty much, like, overcame a lot. You know, he... Underdog, could be wrong.
No, yeah, of course, absolutely. But it's just funny how you said it like that. Seems
like a good guy. So I'm hoping he gets paid and he doesn't get beat up too bad. Liam Smith, Aaron McKenna is an interesting fight. McKenna's 25 years old. Liam Smith, 36 years old. Smith hasn't fought since he was stopped by Eubank. September of 2023, last fight for Smith. This is the classic old versus young. McKenna -150 on the money line. He's like he was a once phenom. I don't know where he stands now in terms of being a prospect. Like, I remember Golden Boy was building this guy up. I think McKenna's going to win. I think Smith has seen one too many wars.
Yeah, McKenna is a guy that I've behind the scenes, I've heard a lot of really good things about him. So it's I think he might be one of the next coming type guys. And in order to be that guy, you got to get past a guy like Beefy, who I have to mention, you know, back injuries have been a problem for Beefy recently. So that's something to keep in mind, too. Older guy, you know, back issues in the past. Not sure if he's completely over that yet. But yeah, I would lean Aaron McKenna in this one.
And then my favorite fight on this undercard is going to be an absolute savage war at cruiserweight. Chris Billiam Smith, CBS versus Brandon Glanton. Don't blink in this one. Glanton was in that war with Apoche a couple of years back, which was a sneaky fight of the year candidate. Chris Billiam Smith had that brutal, brutal fight with Zerto, which is sticking in my mind. Like, you talk about, like, I can't unsee Eubank going down against Smith. I can't unsee those types of things. I can't unsee the 12-round beating that Zerto put on Billiam Smith. I honestly think that took some years off of his career. I just think Glanton's got a little more in this one, even though he's older. But I think this doesn't go distance.
You know, his last fight was in Moscow. Before that, he was fighting in France. He's fought in Dubai, you know, and then before that, it was a lot of local fights. But I don't know. I'm a fan of Glanton, man. He's a hardworking guy. This is an awesome fight. This is like two trains on the same track. This is, like you said, this is going to be a potential show stealer. It's a great fight.
Is this the only American on the card?
Yeah. James Glanton?
Billiam Smith, yeah. Liam Smith, McKenna's Irish, Yard, Arthur. Mm-hmm. Vidal Riley, Siobhan Clark. So, yeah, let's go for the American. Bring it home, Brandon.
Let's go.
Not that I care. I mean, I do have some patriotism, but not when it comes to boxing. I just want to see the best fights. I think that's going to be – that fight's going to get the crowd going. I wonder if they're going to put that as the co-main, or you think Liam Smith, McKenna will be the co-main. I don't know the exact order.
I'll probably put that one on pretty early.
There's five fights. One, two, three, four. Four fights on the undercard.
Solid card. Very solid card.
Five is a lot. So then you have three for the May 2nd, which is interesting, which is also ring Ring magazine card. Undercard is fun. I think it will be fun. It's a pay-per-view in the States, which I don't know how this is going to perform. I think it's going to perform really well over there.
Yes.
Here, I don't know. You know, it's getting nicer out here in the U.S. and like it's middle of the day and it's a bunch of Brits, a lot of Brits, only one American. Not that it matters. I'll be watching. Prediction time. Still don't have my prediction. I'm going to think about it right now. I guess is it kind of boring route here? I usually try to spice it up, but I don't know if this is boring. I think Chris Eubank's going to win by decision. And I will spice it up by saying I think both guys hit the canvas. Whoa. I think it's an all-out slugfest. I think emotions are going to take over. The huge crowd, the bad blood, the fathers, everything. I think Ben floors Eubank. I think Eubank floors Ben. But ultimately, it settles down. Eubank tanks over late, boxes, even in the small ring, gets his hand raised. Chris Eubank, by decision, is my prediction.
Good prediction. I hate agreeing with you because that was mine. I was thinking that I was going to go with the experience. I was going to go with the experience and the size of Chris Eubank. I think experience is big, and it's just hard to unsee Ben landing those bombs on Orozco and Dobson, and not even really getting their respect. So for him to stop Eubank, which I think is the only way for him to win. You know, is this a 10-round or 10-round, a 12-round fight?
12 rounds. 12.
That's a question we didn't even talk about.
12.
This is a 12-rounder?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So it's not a title fight, obviously, but they're fighting for 12. I think the scope of the fight demands that it is a 12-rounder. Ben's only been 12 once, I believe, with Dobson, and Eubank Jr. has been 12 more. So I think I'm going to go with the experience and just the size down the stretch. But careful, those first five rounds, I could see Conor Ben landing one of those big shots and then using that youth and exploding all over Eubank Jr. to get him out of there. But ultimately, I'm going to go with the safer, as you said, a little more boring bet, that plus 290.
It's not boring when it comes to your bank account.
Plus 290. Yeah, it's not boring when it comes to the betting line. It's a juicy bet. That's a juicy hit. Plus 290.
I might do 290. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna bet. I'm gonna bet Eubank.
What's Ben by stoppage?
Ben stoppage is only plus 200. Not only, but plus 200.
Yeah. So
Ben decision, which is plus 750.
I don't think that's a bad bet either, because I don't know. It just seems to me that the powers that be want Ben to win. It's more upside for the sport. So can Eubank get the decision? Because it seems like a lot of the negotiating battles were won by Team Ben. You know, the rehydration clause, the smaller ring.
I guess getting it to 160, was that, you think that was a Eubank demand?
Well, Eubank, so I saw an interview where Eubank said, after the drug scandal, he goes, if we do ever make this fight again, he just gave up his negotiating power. I'm not going below 160.
Yeah, you got to have some leverage here when the other guy fails drug test.
I mean, I would have fought harder for the rehydration.
To be thrown out?
Team Eubank, thrown out, yeah. I don't like them in general, but also I think that really shows you where Eubank's head is at. Like, I can beat this guy no matter what. And that might come back to hurt him.
Big fight. Big fight feels. Bloodlines, legacy, bragging rights, bigger fights on the horizon, maybe a second fight, 70,000. It's going to be a spectacle. I'm bought in. You got me. You got me hook, line, and sinker for this one. Cannot wait to see how it all goes down. Can't wait to talk about it all on Monday's episode, one way or another. We're going to see what happens. It's a big one and a fun undercard and all that.
Afternoon boxing, which is always fun for us East Coasters in the States. We get to watch boxing all afternoon.
Gives us, yeah, you can go out at night too, which, you know, gets a little tough on the East Coast when these fights start at 11. I don't really go out too late, you know, but, you know, now it frees up Saturday evening. I'm looking outside right now. New York it's 70 degrees. People are out and about. The vibes have changed. Everyone's happy. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I live in paradise with the beautiful weather, so it's.
But you know what it's like.
I'm smiling.
In cold weather.
I know.
You know everyone out there that's listening that lives in the four seasons like the rest of us, not like Chris who has. It's just every day is 70 and 80, even though there's some cold days for you as well. But cold New York, that first warm day week.
When it turns the corner, I mean, like spring has sprung and we start, it's all warmth from the next couple months. Yeah, no, that's a whole different vibe. It changes everyone's personality, everyone's mind, everyone's attitude. Everyone changes.
Love that. All right, everyone. Enjoy the fights. Bet with your head not over it. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.